It's a special edition of the Rich on Tech podcast direct from China. What's going on? I'm Rich DeMuro here in Shanghai for CES Asia, where tech companies are showing off their gadgets for a marketplace of over a billion people here in this region. And yes, I've got some thoughts on that show, the country at large, and lots of international lessons learned. We also got to go to Shanghai Disneyland, so we're going to talk about that. And of course, answer your pressing tech questions as always. Joining me is producer Megan, the driving force behind this trip. Megan, welcome to the show.
Ni hao.
Shi.
That's
about all I've learned so far since I've been here. But you really wanted to do this.
I did.
Why?
I've never been to Asia, and it just sounded like such a cool opportunity to bring, you know, the tech show here and just see, you know, what CES Asia is all about. So.
And on that note, thank you to CES Asia for hosting us. They brought us out here to experience the show. Now, I was actually here for the very first show, which was 5 years ago. I came here with my photographer, Phil Ige, and it was the inaugural show. So, I mean, it was like the first time. I didn't know anything about it, and I don't think either did CES Asia. I mean, it was a smaller, much smaller show than it is today. It has definitely grown. So this year, 5 or 6 giant halls of exhibits. There's a lot of random tech accessories. I mean, that's to be expected because we're in Asia. I mean, this is where they're all made. But they had a lot of car tech. They had AI. They had 5G. Lots of keynotes from big companies. Huawei gave the keynote, which is kind of awkward because, you know, you've heard Huawei in the news so much. Yeah. They're facing that major ban in the U.S. I think they're already banned at this point. So, but I think they're fighting it. But my big takeaway from the show, did I see one thing that just like blew my mind? Not really, but I saw lots of little things and a lot of cool stuff too that all kind of makes you realize it is a very big world out there. In the U.S., we're very focused on Apple, on Samsung, but here there are so many people. And what I've noticed about people in Asia is that there is not one theme I see, right?
Yeah.
Except for the fact that everyone's on their phone all the time.
Mm-hmm.
But they use a lot of different tech. Like in the US, it's all Apple, it's all Samsung, and you know, a couple other brands. But here, it is like, I was looking at people's phones, and I couldn't identify what phone models they were, because there's so many different types. So I think that's my big takeaway, is that really, this is a huge world. Keep in mind that when you talk about tech and you see tech, there are a lot of different people out there, and there's something for everyone. Okay, so let me talk about the way this show is going to work, because it's a little different than our previous shows. Instead of talking about all the tech topics from this week, I'm going to share my thoughts about this whole experience here in China, but we're still going to answer questions. So in between my thoughts, I'll take a question, and I guess now's the perfect time to start with our first question. So Megan, take it away.
Okay, so our first question comes from Peggy Lane. Hey Rich, we are very interested in purchasing something that attaches to our house as a water meter and alerts you when there is a possible leak. I would also like to be able to turn off the house water with my iPhone. How is the technology advanced in this department? Any suggestions?
Ooh, that's a really good question. And it's something that, here's the thing with all this smart home stuff, once you have it, you realize that you can't imagine life without it.
Mm-hmm.
And the smart, like, okay, so for me, for example, I just installed a smart lock on my front door. And now that I have it, I literally can't imagine life without it because I can see when my door is locked. I can see when it's unlocked. I can assign codes to people. Everyone, I don't have to have keys anymore for people. So I've given out codes to like so many people because they can just like my in-laws, they can come in when they need to.
Yeah.
You can say when you want them to have access. So like for instance, with the cleaning service, I have them, they can only access it at a certain time. Like they come on this day from, you know, 7 to 9, that's it. You know what I mean? They don't need access 24/7.
Right.
So it's like these little things I never thought of. Like here's, for the past 20 years, you know, cleaning service had a key to my house. This makes so much more sense.
Yeah.
So anyway, when it comes to the water leaks at your house, and by the way, I had this happen at my house and it's not pretty. A water leak, I think it cost us insurance. I think it was about almost $50,000. I'm talking one little leak that was from the water heater. It exploded basically overnight and got leaked into our floor like for about 24 hours.
Oh my God.
And I thought, no big deal. I just stepped on the floor and it was kind of mushy. Oh my gosh, I had no idea. You have to replace the entire wood floor. I mean, the walls, they got to cut the walls up to like, you know, so they can replace all the, yeah, everything had to be mold. Replaced. Mold, exactly, had to be dried out for a week.
Was there mold?
Well, not because we found it quickly, fast, you know, yeah, but they still have to dry out your house for like a week to make sure that it doesn't get any mold. I mean, it was crazy. Yeah. My point is, for a little tiny leak, it was like so much money.
Yeah.
And yeah, insurance will cover a lot of that, but I mean, I still was out a lot. Mm-hmm. But anyway, so my point is, these things are going to become even more crucial, because how they work is they go on your main pipe that brings the water into your house, mm-hmm, and they sense what's happening with that water going through there. So number one, they can sense like, is your toilet leaking? Because they use an algorithm to kind of figure out, like, we can fingerprint this leak, and we know from the other millions of fingerprints that we've taken that this is a water leak from the toilet, mm-hmm, or this is a water leak from the shower, or this is your washing machine using too much water. Mm-hmm. So it's really fascinating what they're doing with the fingerprinting of this of the water flow in your house. So the two that I would probably take a look at, number one is called Flow, F-L-O, and this is actually owned by Moen. You've heard of them, right? The brand?
Yeah.
So that's number one. The one that I know that I've seen a demo of is Phyn, P-H-Y-N, and this is made by Belkin, which I guess they used to be. I mean, I think they are.
And we saw both of these companies at CES in Vegas.
Right. And this is one of those things, but it's really expensive. So I think by the time you get it installed and everything, mm-hmm, you're looking at over $1,000. But in my case, for, you know, being out several thousand dollars with that leak, this is something that I do want to get. Mm-hmm. And I keep, but it's like one of those things, like, do you really, like, you know, you have all these things of what you want to spend your money on.
Right.
Like a water flow leak detector in your house is not really on the top of my list. It's probably last on the list, but it is something to look into. So I think the technology, this is going to be something that's on every home in the future, especially when it comes to water conservation. So those are the two that I'd look at, Flow and Phyn. And, you know, I think once you have it, probably going to like it.
Yeah.
So good question. Okay. So moving on with China, the number one thing that I have noticed about this country is the Great Firewall, as they call it, right? It is real.
It's so real.
You've experienced it. Connectivity here is such a challenge. And that doesn't mean that there's not Wi-Fi. It doesn't mean there's not cellular. There's cellular everywhere. There's Wi-Fi everywhere. But it does not work the way we think about it working in America.
Yeah.
So everything that we use on a daily basis is pretty much blocked. And that includes Facebook. That includes Instagram. That includes Google, that includes Gmail, that includes Google Photos, Google Drive, as you figured out. The list just goes on and on. Like all this stuff that you just think, you open up Instagram and it's just like, sorry, could not connect. And you're like, wait, what? Like, no, there's no Instagram. You send a message to someone on Instagram. Doesn't work.
Nope.
So the thing that I found is twofold. Number one, if you are using a cellular connection from an account from the US, like I have Verizon, if I'm using that on my phone, even though I'm going through China Mobile, mm-hmm, on my phone because it's roaming, it still works just fine. So that's number one. But on your computer, what do? Right? So right now I'm using a hotspot from my phone. That gets expensive.
Which we just figured out.
Yeah, which I just figured out, by the way. But the other thing I've been doing is using a VPN. So that has really saved me. But the problem with the VPN is it kicks you off every couple of minutes. Mm-hmm. So it's not like you just log onto your VPN and it works the whole time. So it has been really frustrating. And the other thing I noticed is that I always talk about, people always ask me, hey, Rich, how do I roam when I'm in whatever country? And a given your experience in other countries is a lot easier because you do have Wi-Fi that works. Like if you go to Italy, the Wi-Fi is going to let you access all the stuff you normally access, right? So here it's a little more challenging. But what I did recognize is I always recommend to go on the travel pass or whatever they call it, like mm-hmm. international travel, whatever. It's $10 a day usually mm-hmm. on AT&T and Verizon, the two big ones. And that gives you your plan as normal in any country in the world, pretty much. So if you use your phone, it's a $10 charge. It works as normal. Like you can call people, you can use your internet, whatever. But what I did not know until this trip is that you only get a half a gigabyte of high-speed data. And after that, they slow you down to a crawl, which is basically unusable. So now I feel like it's still the easiest way to travel internationally, but that half a gig is not enough. Yeah. I mean, you know, you want to upload a couple pictures to Instagram, fine. But for me, like I was uploading a couple videos and stuff to like Facebook, and I want to back up my pictures to Google Photos, no dice, because half a gig is like nothing.
Yeah.
you'll burn through that instantly. And the best part is when you're done with that half a gig, Verizon texts you and they say, oh, we noticed that you burned through your half a gig. We're going to slow you down, or reply yes for another $10. We'll give you another half a gig.
Yeah, that's how they make the money.
That can add up really fast.
Yeah, seriously. So
personally, I don't know how China survives without Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, Google. Maybe they're better off because, you know, it's a source of a lot of discontent in America. You know, like people are surfing Instagram all day and they're jealous of like their friends they see on vacation. what's not blocked, which has been really good, iMessage. Mm-hmm. So that's been a savior there. And you had an experience with a couple of things that were censored. So tell me about that.
Oh, so the second day that I was here, I decided to like turn on the TV and just like see what was there. And I turned on CNN and I was like, oh, okay. See, I thought CNN would have been like blocked. And I was just watching it. And then suddenly they started, CNN was talking about Trump. And then I was like, oh, weird. So they like talk about Trump here. And then suddenly, and it was like obviously an American CNN because it was like CNN anchors. And then within literally 30 seconds, it just went black.
Because and they were talking about something that was happening in Hong Kong, a protest.
Yes, exactly. And then it was blocked for just like 5 minutes.
So it's so crazy that they have it here, but yet someone is literally sitting there watching the CNN feed for all of China and just like pressing a button to like black out whatever they don't agree with. I mean, it's so crazy. It must be a huge like business here, like industry here, like the government doing that.
Yeah.
And then a phone call with your mom, something weird happened.
Yeah, so I called my mom and within like 10 seconds, she was like, oh, are you listening to music? And I was like, no. And she said, oh, well, I just heard like a Beatles song playing. And I was like, well, I'm not listening to any music. And she was like, okay, well, it was very clear. Like I could hear a song playing for like 3 seconds. It like basically blocked me. Like she couldn't hear me. She just heard the song.
Weird.
So like something happened. I have no idea. It was really strange. And then like throughout the call, I just was like, I feel like someone's listening.
Yeah,
like,
that's the way I felt on all my calls.
Yeah.
The guy listening probably, he probably like was listening to music in the background and like forgot to mute it when he like started listening to you.
Actually.
Oh my gosh. So crazy. So it's just such a weird thing because, yeah, I'm sure in America they do stuff like that. Like I'm sure there's a level of surveillance, not on the average person, but in general, like, you know, I'm sure America does that to certain people and things that are being watched.
Right.
We do have the FBI. But it just doesn't feel as in your face as it does here.
Yeah.
So, all right. Another question, Megan. You're up.
Okay. Next question is from Roger Macias. My kid downloaded some free software and along with it, a virus that redirects my browser to Bing. I noticed during the redirect process, it tags a site called My Search. I can't seem to get rid of it and I'm getting really frustrated. Do you have any ideas on how to get off my PC?
Oh gosh, this is the worst. It's funny that this still happens because this was such a problem a long time ago, but it still happens.
Right.
So what happened was your son probably downloaded some software that had I don't know what you call it, like drive-by software included. Like a lot of times when you download free software, the reason it's free is because they'll get money from a company like My Search. And My Search will say, well, let's bundle our toolbar in and we'll pay you $10 every time someone downloads your software. And you're like, oh, okay, cool. I mean, it's just, so it comes with that software. So that's what happened. And it's, by the way, really tough to usually get rid of this software because it doesn't show up in the uninstall toolbar, you know, uninstall panel. It's just not like as legitimate as like a Google toolbar back in the day or like a normal company. Mm-hmm. So it's just tougher to get off your machine. So what I'd recommend is Malwarebytes. So I think that Malwarebytes is, you know, it will find this stuff on your computer and help you uninstall it. So that's the main thing. If that doesn't work, I mean, I think that'll work. So it should work. And there's, if you actually search on Google for how to get rid of mysearch.com redirect, you'll see it. It's funny because I help a lot of people with their computers and I can tell whenever someone's like, I'm having trouble with my computer, if I start searching on Google and it goes to like some random search, I'm like, oh, well, first off, you have malware on your computer.
Yeah.
And this happens all the time. Like people don't even realize. Like you'll get like these random, like My Way search. I mean, there's so many random search toolbars. Yeah, like engines that are like, and they're all just, the way they make money is they're just hijacking the ad data. So they're trying to get you to click on ads. They get a little portion of that referral fee and then they make money. It's a whole terrible industry.
It really
is. But Malwarebytes, I think, should get rid of it. They're the biggest kind of like anti-malware, and it's usually free. You can download it for free. I'm sure there's some paid versions of it, but it's usually free, and it gets good reviews. Like, a lot of the tech people recommend it because mm-hmm. it is pretty legit. So now we talked about the bad side of China, which is the censorship, but I will talk about the benefit of China, the amazing part of China, which is like mm-hmm. the people here are very kind. I describe them as gentle. Like, they just yeah. seem like, I mean, we're in a city of Shanghai, which has, I think, like 24 million people.
It's insane.
And it seems like the people here are just so, like, nice. And, like, not just nice to us, but kind to, like, their fellow human, mm-hmm. which I find really interesting because you're in LA and it's like, it's every man for himself, you know? Yeah. And especially with the traffic and all this stuff. But it's, and it's also really clean. So the city, we were driving and I just could not believe, and I remember this from China last time, they keep this place so clean, it's just unbelievable because you're in a big city, but it is pristine. Yeah. And you can argue, you know, the government, the way it is here and all that stuff, like but I don't care. I'm putting all that aside. Like, still, they have figured out somehow in 2019 with 24 million people to keep the streets clean. Mm-hmm. The flowers were like, I mean, I couldn't believe that just a regular street we were driving
yeah.
was so nice.
Mm-hmm.
Now, let's compare that to Los Angeles, where I always say that the big city has given up on the people, because you drive in LA, even Sunset Boulevard, which is a street that is like the nicest street in the world. I mean, who doesn't know Sunset Boulevard or Hollywood Boulevard? And you drive down them and there's trash everywhere. I mean, you know the problem in LA. It's really bad. I mean, there's trash everywhere.
Yeah.
The streets are not maintained. Nothing's maintained. And so to see a city like this that has somehow figured it out, and I'm not just singling out LA. I mean, New York City, same thing. A lot of this, it's just dirty.
Yeah.
San Francisco, I don't even want to start on that one. I mean, that's like the dirtiest city I've ever seen at this point. So what is it about America?
Yeah.
And again, and you know, don't call me like a China lover. I mean, look at Tokyo, Japan. Same thing. Huge city. It is. I would eat my lunch off the streets in Tokyo. It's that clean.
For a germaphobe, that's
no.
Bit
yeah, I wouldn't do that. But my point
and,
is like,
and
what's
the part of Sunset that's I was saying? But there's that one part of Sunset. Well, that's in West Hollywood, which
yeah.
isn't part of LA.
Right.
So like, they figured something out.
You go
Beverly
to
Beverly Hills.
You yeah. go through the streets there. They're perfect. You go through West Hollywood. They're perfect. You go to Santa Monica. It starts. You know, I mean, some areas of Santa Monica could be a little dicey, but it's pretty clean compared to the LA at large.
Right.
So, city of Los Angeles, you know, bring your people out here to China and see how it works
yes.
in Shanghai. How do they have all these people and somehow they keep the place clean? Mm-hmm. Because LA, we can't seem to figure that out. And it'd be nice if we could. The other thing I noticed about the people here is that everything is mobile. Like, everything is done on your phone. We can't get, I've been talking about QR codes literally for 15 years talking about technology. I still can't get the average person to scan a QR code. Here in China, everything is scan this QR code. You can pay, scan this, WeChat, you can do payment. Everything's through WeChat, this app that's kind of like their messaging app, basically. But it does everything.
You can pay.
Does everything.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it's just funny that, like, somehow it's America is very forward-facing.
It's stuck in their ways.
Yeah. Like, we're very old school in a lot of, like, weird ways.
Yeah.
Like, with this whole mobile payment thing, like, people are, you know, like, mobile payments and tap to pay have been a thing in other countries for like years.
Yeah.
And like, somehow in the US, like, people are still hesitant to use tap to pay or like mobile payment. Venmo is taken off, but I'm not a big fan of that. So,
right.
Anyway.
Right.
All right.
Okay.
So I feel, I sound like I'm moving to China.
I know. When are you going to move?
I just bought an apartment here. So,
oh,
just kidding.
Okay. That's what you were doing yesterday. You're mm-hmm. looking at apartments.
House hunting. International house hunters, which with Rich DeMuro.
Okay. So, question time. Next question comes from Anthony Lara. This name sounds very familiar.
I feel like we've had a question.
Had
or
a
did
question.
We do this question? Okay. Well, let's hear.
We haven't done it yet.
Okay.
So his question has to do with Pandora or Spotify. He said, I might have missed something, but what is your review and or recommendation between Pandora or Spotify? Paid or free, either one.
Hmm. If you're going to go paid, I'd go Spotify.
Yeah.
I mean,
totally.
It's kind of like the market leader. It you know, it just has everything you need.
Right.
So, I mean, that would be my choice for a paid. Now, for free, I really like Pandora. I think it's great. I think that there's two things going on here. Number one, to me, when I started using Pandora, because one, the feature I love about Pandora, and have you used it often?
Yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
So have you ever seen where, like, basically you choose your stations, right? And once you have them, they're great. They play music that you kind of love, right? Like, it always kind of figures out, like, good music for you.
Right.
But my favorite feature was the shuffle all of your stations feature. So, like, a lot of times with, like, Spotify, you're locked into, like, country music or pop music or rap music, right?
Mm-hmm.
Well, sometimes I like a mix of things. Like, everyone has, like, you know, remember the old mixtape where you get, like, a bunch, like, a random song next to another random song, right?
Yeah.
Well, that's kind of lost with all these playlists now that we're experiencing on these services. And so I really like the feature on Pandora where you choose your whatever stations, you know, five stations or whatever you want, and then you say, shuffle my stations. And then all of a sudden, it'll pull a country song from your country station. It'll pull a pop song from your pop station. It'll pull a jazz song from your jazz station. I find that really cool.
Yeah.
So that's what I like about Pandora. The downside of Pandora to me is that I don't think it doesn't have as much music as like Spotify. So I feel like you hear the same stuff over and over and over.
Yeah.
So that's number one. And ads also, you said free or paid. I mean, you got to pay because even if you're doing the free Pandora, there's way too many ads.
Mm-hmm.
So you have to pay the $5 a month just
like
to get
every three songs.
Oh my gosh, it's crazy.
Yeah.
And nothing bugs me more than like being like a, you know, a hair place or like a whatever, like where they're playing like Pandora or like an Uber and you hear like an ad. And I'm like, seriously? Like just pay the $5 a month and get rid of these ads because you're like, come on.
It's wasting my time.
It's wasting my time. But also check out Spotify Stations. That's the new app that is kind of like their answer to Pandora. So what I do... Was it Jose Lara?
Anthony Lara.
Anthony Lara.
Yeah.
Anthony, what I would say is I would pay for Spotify, $10 a month, download Spotify, and then download Spotify Stations, which is basically their version of Pandora. So you get the best of both worlds. When you want all the cool playlists, you go there. If you just want the sort of Pandora, sit back, not really think very much experience, use the Stations. So what do you think of that answer, Megan?
I love it. And I love their new app, too. Spotify's new, like...
The Stations?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's really fast. It's like, basically, you download it, and you choose a station, and it just starts playing. And then when you open the app again, it just starts playing music, like, instantly.
Yeah.
And it's really, really fast. More about China. So,
back to China.
Back to China. So, one of the things I thought was really interesting here is that... So, when I was in China... the last time, which was a couple years ago, they had Uber. And I thought it was so cool that I was able to use Uber. And I actually got tripped up because here's what happened. So I took Uber from, let's say, the convention center to the electronics store that I wanted to check out. It's like this giant, giant, like 12-story electronics store, right?
Oh, wow.
So that was easy because my pickup point was a convention center, which is well-known, and the electronics store is well-known, super simple. What I did not think about is going from the electronics store back to the convention center, impossible to get my Uber because it was such a busy area.
Oh.
There was no way. So what happened was I said, you know, I could put the locations in, but the Uber driver kept calling me to say, where are you? Like, who are you? You know, because
Chinese.
Yes, could not understand.
Oh, no.
So it was really bad. And I was like, so bottom line, we had to take a taxi because I just waved one down.
Yeah.
But, you know, not ideal because I don't, you know.
But with that, did you have to show them in Chinese where you were trying to go?
It was pretty easy, yeah, because I just said conventions. You know, I showed them, like, I forget what I showed them, but it was easy.
They figured it out,
yeah.
Yeah.
But Uber is gone. They're no longer in China as far as I can tell. What they do have is this thing called Didi.
Mm-hmm.
And I was very hesitant because I was like, well, this is a Chinese service. I'm not really sure how it's going to work. You know, I just don't know. And when you don't know, it's like, especially when it's a service that's not from your native country, I'm like hesitant to sign up. Are they going to take my credit card? I just didn't know, right?
Right.
So I was at breakfast and one of the other people on the trip was like, oh, Didi's great. You got to try it. So I was like, oh, so that's all I need, another American.
Yeah.
And so I downloaded Didi and I signed up, which was, you know, pretty simple. And they took my credit card and I got to say, very impressed.
Mm-hmm.
We have taken them about 10 times since we've been here. They have so many selections, kind of like Uber, where you can choose like what kind of car you want. You know, the drivers, I will say the level of driver I've seen was amazing.
Yeah.
Like,
the drivers are really great here.
Like, they don't talk. And if they did talk, they were very friendly. They didn't really speak English most of the time.
Or they would speak Chinese and they'd keep speaking, but they like totally knew we didn't speak Chinese. But it was just to show that they were like trying to be social.
I never understand that.
Okay.
Like you're just like, you're literally looking at them like with the most blank stare in your eyes.
Yeah.
And they're still just like, still talking. Every step of the way, they're like talking, like telling you something. Yeah. You're like, I don't know. I don't even understand what you're saying. But they were amazing. And the other thing that we noticed is what? That they never...
No radio.
Yeah.
It's completely silent
in the
car.
It's silent. Like, I'm talking... Yeah. It's not even that the radio is turned down. Like, in the center console was just a clock every time.
Right.
Like, it was like the system was turned off.
Yeah.
So, I don't know if that's a DD thing or, you know, whatever. But that's... Or that's just the way... But... And they were so professional. Mm-hmm. I'm talking on... Like, when I'm in Uber, number one... Sorry, Uber, but the driving's terrible. I mean, it's horrible.
The drivers are so bad.
They're so bad. And you get on the freeway and your life is at stake because they're going 100 miles an hour on the way to the airport. And this is why I don't like to take Uber to the airport, because they're going 100 miles an hour on the 405. And I'm like, dude, I don't need to die on the way to the airport.
Yeah.
I don't need to go 100 miles an hour. I will easily be happy with the speed limit. So, you know, I've got kids at home, like, please, like, just...
Yeah, like, I want to make it.
I want to make it.
Yeah.
And it's not like they're good drivers at 100 miles an hour. Like, they're literally... I will tell you, I think out of the past 20 times I've been in an Uber, I might have gotten into an accident 20 times. Because they do weird things that, like, normal drivers don't do. Like, they pull out into the thing without looking. Or, like, they, you know, switch lanes and there's a car that honks at them. It's really bad.
Yeah.
And I'm not, you know... Maybe it's not the higher levels. Like, I'm talking Uber X most of the time. Mm-hmm. If I want, like, a better drive, like, if I'm putting my mom in an Uber, most of the time I'm getting her, like, the Select or something like that.
Right.
Because the drivers do get better when you get the higher levels. Right. But it's kind of, it's sketchy. Like, they let anyone be a driver for Uber at this point.
And I think the reason why Didi, I don't know, I think it works well because right when you order your ride, it asks to... like listen to you.
Yeah, that's also really weird.
It basically accesses your audio and your camera so they can like watch you, but I'm sure it's the same for the driver. So like they really can't, like there's a reason why they do that, so that you don't get in the car and you're not crazy or like saying weird stuff to the driver,
right?
Like,
vice versa too.
Yeah, and like I think that's another reason why Uber has a lot of challenges, is because there's no one like really watching to make sure that like everything's going right.
It was weird because, and what Megan's referring to is when you download the app and you take your first ride, they're very big on safety. Like they say, number one, set an emergency contact. They tell you exactly how to call the police. Like it was a little disconcerting.
There's
an
option.
Yeah, an emergency.
To call the police while you're in the car.
Which Uber has gotten now. They do have that, like a safety center. But it's like legit. They're like, number one, they asked me for, we need to record your audio while you're in the car. When you start this trip, we're going to access your microphone and record everything.
Right.
Which I was like, okay, I mean, that's kind of weird, but it makes sense, right?
Yeah.
And then the second drive we took, they asked for video permission. They said, can we access your camera? And I thought, I mean, again, it kind of is funny because we're in China with the surveillance society and it like, it's kind of funny that the Didi would ask to do that. But I was totally like, all right, cool.
Yeah.
And maybe it does bring that higher level of quality because they know that they're being watched.
Yeah.
So... I was on my best behavior because of that.
You weren't mean to the driver because of that.
Oh, by the way.
He normally, yells at drivers. I'm just
kidding. And one thing I did not talk about was how cheap the Didi drives were.
Oh my gosh,
I'm talking, I couldn't, when I was doing the translations or the conversions of the currency, I was like, this doesn't make sense. It was like $8 for like...
Also, by the way, on his Apple Watch, which made me want to get an Apple Watch even more.
Oh my gosh, the best app that I downloaded.
It's so great.
It's called Elk, E-L-K, and it is just amazing. It's so easy to convert your currency in like 2 seconds. I loved it. I was doing it the whole time when you saw me. It's just fantastic. Elk, E-L-K. I think I'm on a free trial. I think it's a paid app, but I did a lot of free trials for this trip. So I did like a free trial of that. I did a free trial of Apple News Plus to download magazines. Mm-hmm. I did a free trial of like HBO, Cinemax, Showtime to download movies through Apple TV.
That's so
smart. The new service. Because all their channels, you can download everything.
Yeah.
So anyway, so I did a lot of free trials. That's by the way, one little tip about free trials. When you sign up for them, do you know this?
Set a reminder on your phone to cancel it.
No. Cancel it right away. Just go right into subscriptions on your iPhone and cancel, because you still get it till the end of the thing.
Oh,
now, the only one I noticed that does not let you do that, Apple, shame on you, is Apple News.
Oh.
They say, as soon as you cancel, it's over. So that one I do have to cancel after before my mm-hmm. month is, I think it's a month, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But all the other ones, Cinemax, doop, cancel as soon as you sign up because you don't forget. Just go right in and yeah. you still have it for the week. What?
That reminds me because I signed up for one of those gym things. It's like you can go to a gym 10 times for...
Oh, okay.
I don't know.
Gym pass or something?
Gym pass, yeah. And it ends
Class
tomorrow
pass.
Night.
Class pass, okay.
Yeah.
Well, good luck canceling that from China.
Oh.
All right, you have another question?
Yes. Okay, so next question is from Teresa Malone. Is this a scam? Is the subject. I just got a telephone robocall saying that Microsoft is going to automatically deduct $434 from my bank account for support on a Microsoft product. The recorded voice asked me to press a number for a reason that I don't remember. As I was so freaked out, I hung up after that. I believe this is a scam as I have never given Microsoft any financial information. Is this real or a new way to cheat people? Please look into this.
Mm. This has been going on for a long time. The Microsoft scams are like a dime a dozen.
Yeah.
They are calling. I mean, we've done stories on this on KTLA for years. I've been talking about Microsoft scams for, I don't know, a couple years, like 5-6 years. So here's the thing. It's not Microsoft. They're not scamming anyone. But here's the thing. It's a big company that mm-hmm. that touches a lot of people. So a lot of people have a computer that has Microsoft on it and they need tech support, whatever. And so you just think like, oh, I have a computer and Microsoft is calling me to say I need help or I got to pay this fee or whatever it is. And you think yeah. like, oh, okay. Like, I think that might sound legit. And given this person, she obviously was hip to it and was like, I don't remember signing up for that. But they're just doing a numbers game. So they're just getting a lot of people, you know, doing millions of these robocalls. And if one person falls for it, which, by the way, I know someone personally that called me frantic saying that they had fallen for this. And they gave their credit card number and all this stuff over the phone. And they go halfway through, they realize, like, wait a second, what am I doing?
Yeah.
The person took control of their computer. Mm-hmm. So this is a scam. It's just a new twist on an old scam.
Yeah.
So I'm not sure where the scam is because she said they wanted to charge her like $430. Like, where does it... If they're like, oh, let's confirm your credit card number and maybe you give it over again. Like, I would be like, come on. Let's, you know, I don't know how this scam works exactly.
Yeah.
But clearly they're trying to get money out of you, right?
So weird. And I mean, like, the scam must know that she has a Microsoft product or it's just random.
It's totally random. They're okay. just... If you call, you know, if you use a Mac... You're sitting yeah. there, I don't have a Microsoft computer,
yeah.
right?
Yeah, I've definitely seen Apple, like, obviously it's not Apple, but, like, again, like, yep. it's easy to, like, make an email look like yep. it's from Apple, and it's all, you know, a couple letters are changed in the email address, and that's how they get people.
Yep. And the other thing they're doing with Apple on the Apple side of scams is built into every iPhone is the phone number for Apple. So what the robocallers do is they spoof Apple's phone number, call you from that number, and then it comes up on your phone, Apple, and you go, oh, well, this is Apple calling me.
Oh
so clearly, and then they say, like, you need to renew your iCloud or whatever.
Yeah.
And that's a really good scam because, you know, in every iPhone built into the contact address book is the Apple phone number.
Right.
So you have to just spoof that, and your iPhone looks like Apple's calling. So watch out for that one if that ever happens to you.
So
but
sketchy.
It's so these scam artists, I mean, this is why they call them scam artists because
yeah.
they try these things and they do work mm-hmm. and people fall for it. And, you know, it's one of these things where it just happens and mm-hmm. it's been going on forever.
Yeah.
Even before there was, I mean, scams have been there forever. You know, whether it was back in the day when they sold like, you know, oil, what is snake oil, you know, like all these things, like vitamins, I mean, whatever.
Yeah.
It's still a scam. It doesn't work. It's someone selling you on something, right?
Yeah,
and you're handing
gummies,
over your money.
The hair gummies. That
are those
buys.
A scam?
I mean,
Megan, are you dissing the hair gummies?
Well, that's what, like, the Kardashians get paid,
I'm sure
like,
$1 million. Some vitamins in there.
I'm sure there's, like, something in
but
it.
You can't prove
but,
it.
Like, yeah, you can't prove,
can't prove
that
it.
Yeah.
Let's talk about the food in China.
Yes.
So, number one, food here. I'm, you know me.
Well, what did we have for dinner last night?
I know. Well, Italian.
Yeah.
Which, look, here's the thing. I'm a very
With
simple.
With cheese on your pizza?
No, okay. So, I'll tell the story. So, we go to this place that's just around the corner here, and... You know, it's an Italian restaurant, which whatever. I mean, it's fine. Look, I eat a lot of food. It's like you're eating every day of your life. Like you can't just, I'm not going to have authentic Chinese like every day of my life, right? And
yeah.
I've had fried rice since I've been here every single day. And
yeah,
I've had other
same.
Weird little things that, not that that's weird, but like other, like I've tried one little random thing off the buffet every day that like I wouldn't normally eat, right? Like dragon fruit. I know.
I haven't. I didn't try
See? Anything. Yeah. You didn't try anything like noodles? Like
I tried noodles.
I had spare ribs yesterday, like at Disney. We'll talk about Disney in a moment.
Yes.
But I had spare, like, and it was like bones. I'm like pulling bones out. Like, I mean, it was, it, you know?
They don't care about bones here.
They don't care about bones here. Everything has bones. They just, somehow they just, get through the bones. Yeah. So we went to this place last night that was an Italian restaurant, and I'm getting a pizza, right? Because I'm not a weird eater. I eat, like, pretty basic. I eat, like, steak, potatoes, chicken, salmon. I know. I'm the worst. I don't eat anything weird. So
I'm the same.
You're much more adventurous than I am. So I get a pizza, and I asked the guy, because it was a pizza that had, it said, the description was margarita, or sauce, garlic, and chili paste. And I was like, oh, that sounds good. Mm-hmm. I asked the guy, I said, I'm just making sure this has cheese on it, right? And he goes, sir, it's a pizza. Of course it has cheese.
Yep.
And sure enough, what happens when I get my pizza?
No cheese.
Meanwhile, no Megan over here has this giant pizza with three different types of cheeses and like double sausage or no, double pepperoni.
Yeah, it was literally covered in pepperonis. And I asked the same waiter, I was like, oh, so is this good? Like, have you had this before? And he was like, well, if you like pepperoni, like, you'll like it. And I was like, oh, okay, well, yeah, sounds great. And it was amazing, but it was literally like triple the amount of food compared to Rich's pizza.
Yeah.
Rich,
oh my God.
No cheese.
I had a diet dinner. I mean, I felt great. So the other thing we went to was Luckin Coffee.
Yeah.
Which is, I don't know if I'm saying it right, but Luckin or Lukin. But anyway, so we found a Luckin Coffee, which, by the way, didn't exist until like a couple years ago. And there's like thousands of them everywhere. And I got to say, it was good. I had a matcha. Is that what it was called? Mm-hmm. Like, that's like a green tea.
Matcha freeze or something.
They call it an X-freeze,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Which is a frappuccino, basically.
So good.
It was really good. Like, it tasted so much more real than the green tea frappuccino I've gotten in
at
LA.
Starbucks?
Yeah, at Starbucks.
Yeah.
So, and I'm not like a big green tea person either, but I do like it. I mean, it's nice.
I mean, it's green tea definitely tastes better here.
Yeah.
I've had a lot of green
tea. And you're in China.
It does make sense.
I feel like they know their tea here.
They definitely know what they're
Although,
doing.
Did you have any tea while you were here?
Yeah. Okay. I've had, well, not like fancy. I could have had tea this morning at breakfast. They offered. And I said, no, I'll stick with coffee. But I've had tea like in my room and stuff.
It's funny because even though you think of China like growing up as like a tea culture, like you don't, it's not very overt. Like you don't see tea everywhere. There's not like tea houses everywhere as far as I saw.
Right.
But there is like tea like in a, I guess it's kind of offered everywhere, but it's offered everywhere in the U.S.
Right.
But anyway, so we did that. Then I went to McDonald's. I know, I'm just the world traveler here. But I love going to like a McDonald's in other countries because I love seeing what's on the menu.
Totally.
So I totally took a little video of like what they have there. And it was pretty random. Like they had some really interesting like stuff that we do not have at the McDonald's in the U.S.
And it was like super nice too, right?
Oh, so nice. They're so friendly. Like they're just... Oh, yeah, that's the other thing. Like
So friendly.
Like, they're just...
so welcoming. Like, I mean, if I was a tourist that visited LA, it would probably be, like, an opposite, like, experience.
Oh, yeah. You'd be like, oh, Americans are the worst.
Yeah.
Which they kind of are sometimes. All right, let me tell you some of the random things they had on here. A German sausage double beef burger. A Szechuan spicy double chicken burger. A Japanese beef bowl. Let's see what else they have here. Random. I got a cheeseburger, by the way. Spoiler alert. The most boring thing on the menu. Loaded fries. Spicy. Remember those chicken wings they had at McDonald's a couple years ago? It was like a big thing. Well, those are still here. Crisp cut fries.
Chicken.
Veggie cup. And crisp cut fries and a small corn cup, which I saw someone actually order, which I thought was pretty cool. But crisp cut fries. I really wanted to try, but this is how lame I am. I was like, I don't want to ruin my experience in case they weren't good. So I just got like regular fries. Two other drinks that were at the McDonald's. Coconut drink with jelly.
Oh, weird.
And coconut drink with bubble. And then coconut water.
Is bubble like
I'm guessing boba? I don't know. Maybe it was just
bubbles.
Bubbly. All right. You got another question? Then we're going to get to Disney real quick. And then we'll...
Yes.
So last question. Make it a quick question.
Okay.
Don't read it quick. Like maybe I can answer it quick.
Okay. Next question is from James E. South. Hello, Rich. I was given iTunes gift cards and don't know how I can use them since I have an Android. What can I do, sir?
Oh, this is a quick question. My quick answer is to sell them to a friend. I mean, who doesn't need an iTunes gift card?
Yeah.
Like, if you got a $50 gift card, sell it to your friend for $40. You're still making $40 on the deal, right?
Yeah, true.
So, I mean, that would be my advice. Like, just find a friend, like literally post on your Facebook page, I've got a $50 iTunes gift card. Like, I'll sell it for four, or best offer. Like,
he could also, couldn't he buy movies?
You could buy movies, but he's saying he doesn't want to. He doesn't want to. He doesn't have, I mean, you can still use an iTunes gift card if you're on Android, like for different things, but right. Nah, it's, he doesn't, what's he going to buy a movie for? You know, like, how's he going to watch it? You know, like,
true.
Probably doesn't have an Apple TV.
Yeah.
He can connect his account to movies anywhere and do it that way. But it's too complicated.
It's so complicated.
He just wants to get rid of it. He wants to unload this gift card.
He's done.
So sell it to your friend on Facebook, or you can go to raise.com. So R-A-I-S-E. Have you heard of this?
Mm-mm,
it lets you buy gift cards at a discount, and you can also sell your gift cards. Now, when you sell your gift card, you're not going to get very much on your dollar. So,
yeah.
But here's the thing. These companies, and there's more than just Raise. Raise is the one that I use, so I kind of like it, and I have experience with it. There's other ones that work the same way, but this is the thing. The whole market is, if you get a $100 gift card from a store that you don't use, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like Sharper Image, let's say. I don't even know if that exists anymore. Let's say you get that. You don't care if you get $80 for that, right? Because you're still getting $80 cash.
Right.
You don't care about the value of that card. You're not worried about the $100 because you never use it. It might go to waste in your drawer. So that's how these companies kind of work, is that they, you know, they're basically not preying on, but they're catering to the fact that you don't care if you get $50 for this $100 gift card, right?
Uh-huh. That makes
and then
sense.
They go and they sell it for $70. They pay you $50. You're happy. They go and sell it for $70. The person who buys a $70 gift card or a $100 gift card for $70 is also happy.
Yeah.
Everyone makes money in that scenario.
Mm-hmm.
The person who loses out is grandma, who actually spent the $100 to buy you the gift card originally.
I didn't know that this was a business.
Oh, yeah. It's a big business.
Interesting.
Yeah. Okay, so let's talk Disney before we go. So we got to go. Megan hooked us up with Shanghai Disneyland, and by hookup, not out of your pocket, but you contacted Disney and
yes.
you said, "Hey, Rich would love to check it out, and
yeah,
I'd love to check it out."
Shanghai.
And so they were very nice, and they hooked
amazing.
Us up with tickets, which, by the way, are a lot cheaper than Disney tickets in America. So we did our thing and we went to Disney, and it was Disney Shanghai, which is pretty new. I think it opened in 2016.
Mm-hmm.
And number one, great. I love new places, right? It was really nice
so,
and new. It's like little, like shiny. Like that's
so
how new.
Different.
So different than
our
than
Disneyland.
Yeah.
Number
one, the line to get in was absolutely bananas.
It was a complete nightmare, to be honest.
it was very organized.
Hour.
It was
yeah.
organized, but it was not a nightmare. It was just waiting
well,
in line. That
sorry,
was the
that,
worst
that,
part. But once we got in, the park was amazing.
Yeah, the park was
the
incredible.
Rides were phenomenal. Like, they're all brand new, so all new technology.
Mm-hmm.
So we went on, the first ride we went on, by the way, we had to buy
the Fast Pass bundle,
which was, I don't know how much it was, but it was like $100, let's say.
Yeah.
And it paid off. It gave us six rides for the $100 that you get to go right on.
Right.
And the first one we went on was Tron, which was just amazing.
So cool. So futuristic. Like, just walking to the ride.
Yes. Just the way they built this place was
yeah.
amazing. I would describe it as a Space Mountain, but a kind of a bigger, it kind of was outside and inside. It was
mm-hmm.
in the dark for most of it. It was fantastic.
Yeah.
That was awesome. The other one that was really cool was the Pirates of the Caribbean.
Oh my, that was like the reason why
yeah,
I wanted
you really,
to go to Disneyland.
And
Disney
it was
Shanghai.
The way I described that is if you have been on the I believe it's the Transformers ride at Universal.
Oh yeah,
did
yeah,
you go
yeah.
On that?
I've been on that. Yeah.
It's like kind
recently.
Of a screen, but
yeah.
also like
you move and then there's like graphics.
Right.
But this was like on another level.
This was next level because you're in a boat, which is huge, by the way, compared to the boat at Pirates in LA
mm-hmm.
or Anaheim. And it is just, it's so smooth. It's it was amazing. It was really a feat that they accomplished.
And the Pirates at Disneyland is just like a boat that's just moving. Like, it's not on a track. This boat was on a track. So like, it was moving you at the right times. And like, it literally flipped around and we went on a drop backwards,
yeah.
which was like,
turned around. We didn't flip over, but we turned around.
Yeah. We turned
like you
around.
Went backwards basically
yeah, exactly.
at one point on the ride, which is,
yeah.
it was amazing. They
yeah.
really did a great job on that one. Like, that was worth Tron and Pirates was worth the admission that
totally.
We didn't pay. I know, but still, if you paid admission, like we paid the Fast Pass thing, which was expensive,
yeah.
but it was worth going for those two and to see the park. The park is just beautiful.
Huge.
Everything is double the size of America. Like
yeah.
the streets are double as wide as they are, in Disneyland. And it's just, I mean, the food was good. Well,
like obviously there was a huge crowd, but like
huge
it was so
crowd.
Split up. Like the way that they engineered the park was absolutely genius because whenever we went to a restaurant, there was no line. Mm-hmm. So like there were so many restaurants and they were able to accommodate definitely over like 300,000 people that were there.
Wait, how do you know? You just made that. You just totally made up that number. You have no idea.
I asked you, how many people do you think
are here? I don't know. Right, I just made that up. I it could have been 100. I have no idea how many people were in that park that day, but it was a lot. And it was that was great. The other ride that was really fun was the train, the Seven Dwarfs train.
Yeah.
Because again, it was like Big Thunder Mountain Railroad, right, except brand new.
Yeah.
So the train is silent, but they add like the effect of the train sound. It is so silent. Mm-hmm. You're on this amazing track. The technology they have now for rides is just so way ahead of what we had 20 years ago.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
So it was amazing. I loved it. My lunch was not very good. I got like something weird.
Yeah.
That was the low point of it. I did get good popcorn. They had really strange popcorn flavors. Mm-hmm. I got caramel because I'm, of course, boring. But they had crayfish, which is like, I remember Louisiana crawfish. It's like probably like a Creole thing.
Oh, okay.
And then they had strawberry popcorn, which was, we didn't try. We're so boring.
I want to just like plain popcorn and they're like,
oh. Yeah, they wouldn't sell us plain popcorn. They don't sell plain popcorn there as far as I could tell. It was only flavored. Anyway, Disneyland was great. Thank you, Disney Shanghai, for hosting us. Shout out to Vincent, by the way, was awesome. A lot of the people there do speak English, like a lot of the help. Actually, that's not true. A lot of them didn't, but a lot of them...
They knew like the main words. Like if you said, you know...
Restaurant,
you know, they
bathroom.
Would help, definitely.
But Vincent totally spoke English. And I asked him, I said, dude, how do you speak such good English? And he said, I did my residency or whatever in Anaheim. Like he basically worked in Anaheim.
Yeah.
And I was like, you're amazing. Like he was so nice. He was on point.
He also said he was like a lot of people in China... He was saying a lot of people do speak English. They just don't have the opportunity to use it, which is the same as like I learned Spanish in high school and I hate speaking it because I get uncomfortable.
That's what he said.
It's the same thing.
They don't want to speak English because
they don't want to mess up.
They don't want to mess up.
They feel, you know, embarrassed and, you know, so... I mean, that's interesting to know. I'm sure maybe our drivers like knew what we were talking about.
I hope not because we were making fun of them. Just kidding, Dee Dee.
Kidding.
All right. This has been a lot of fun. We are headed back to the States. So thank you, China. This was great. We talked about the good. We talked about the bad. We answered some questions. I thought overall the Rich on Tech Special Edition China podcast was awesome.
Yeah.
And thanks to you for listening to the show. It continues to grow, by the way. So you guys obviously like what we're doing. So we're going to keep the format the way it is. I think Megan's going to stay as part of the show. Is that cool with you?
Yeah, that's cool with me.
So you like the questions, keep them coming. If you have a question, send it to me. You can go to my website, richontech.tv, or you can send it to hello@richontech.tv. Mm-hmm. Just put in your subject, either way, podcast question, and we'll do our best to answer it. And thanks so much for listening. If you haven't subscribed already, do so. Just search Rich on Tech in your favorite podcast app. That could be Apple Podcasts. That could be Pocket Casts. Overcast is also a really good one. My book is called 101 Handy Tech Tips for the iPhone. It's on Amazon in paperback. It's for iOS 12. iOS 13, yes, is coming out, so Megan knows I've been struggling with the fact that I will probably be rewriting my book very soon, so that's the last you'll ever see of me. Don't forget to sign up for my newsletter. It's at richontech.tv. Producer Megan, I always ask, did you enjoy the show?
Yes, I enjoyed the show.
Did you enjoy China?
I really liked China.
Are you ready for the 12-hour flight back?
Yes, I think so.
Me
too.
I'm just
going to sleep and watch TV and movies.
And have those little tiny drinks you always like. All right, I'm Rich DeMiro. Thanks so much for listening. Have a great day. We will talk to you real soon.